But read your Bible every day. And whether you think you're getting something out of it or not, it is going to work inside of you. If you plant seed, it's going to come up. And the Word of God is seed. Plant spiritual seed. Plant God seed. Now, let's talk about the Word of God. God said that Job said that he esteemed his, the Word of God more than his necessary food. If we want to grow spiritually, do we want to grow spiritually? We need to dine on the Word of God daily. Number one, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. I want you to look at 2 Peter, please, 1:21. 2 Peter 1:21. 2 Peter 1:21. Oh, I was going to tell you. If you memorize, if you take a verse, like let's say you're reading and a verse sticks out to you, write it down on a 3x5 card and carry it around with you during the day. And just say, Dear Holy Spirit, why did you have this verse jump out at me? I'm telling you. You know what, Carson? I was in Bible college. I think it was my senior year. And the college said, Young preacher boys, we want y'all to start memorizing. Well, you're not memorizing the Word of God. Like you know, when we want to make an emphasis on that. So we want y'all to memorize one verse a week. And me being the smart mouth that I was said, you mean I have to go back to one a week? I was doing three a day, you know. And that's how I did for a long time. That's why I memorized thousands of verses. But what I'm saying is they started making an emphasis on reading, on memorizing the Word of God. And if you take a verse, when you're reading every day, if a verse sticks out to you, I'm not telling you that you have to memorize it, but I'm letting you know you will memorize it if you do what I'm going to tell you. It'll just happen. You won't even have to try. Write it down on a 3x5 card and carry it around with you. That verse that jumped out at you that day. The verse that jumped out at you that day. You're reading your Bible, a verse jumped out at you. You got to understand, God himself is a servant. He is servant-hearted. And he takes that verse, and he's like a waiter at a table, and he's coming and he's serving you hot, fresh manna from heaven. This verse is for you today, Roxanne. That's why the verse is jumping on the page. That's why that verse is, for some reason, why is that verse jumping out at me? Write it down and then put it in a 3x5 card, carry it around in your pocket or whatever, you know, and carry it around. And during the day when that verse, Dear Holy Spirit, why is that verse jumping out at me? And maybe you'll get a little bit, but through the day, as that verse comes back to your mind, pull it out and read it again. Meditate on it. What is that verse saying? What is that verse saying? And maybe you're going to memorize on one little phrase at a time. One little phrase at a time. Just three or four words. And you'll think, what does those words mean? And it will revolutionize your life. Read the Word every day. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. The Bible did not come by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit came on people. The Holy Spirit of God came on people to write the Word of God. Is that in the Bible? Glad you asked. Psalm 68:11. Psalm 68:11. Almost every one of the verses I'm going to share with you, God's had me memorize through the years. Psalm 68:11. Psalm 68:11, because God brought this to me years ago of how important His Word is. Psalm 68:11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. The Word of God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. Please turn to 2 Timothy, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Acts, Corinthians, Thessalonians, Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Are you there? I was just making sure everybody's there. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's go over that again. All Scripture is given, it's God-breathed. That word inspiration means to be God-breathed. God breathed the word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I talk to preachers and they'll say, "Well, I just don't like doctrine." I said, "You mean you don't like teaching?" No, I like teaching. I don't like doctrine." I said, "Well, that's what the word doctrine means, is teaching." And the Bible says all Scripture is profitable, it's good for doctrine, for teaching. That's what happens. That's why we're going to see a verse in a little bit that talks about Carson. Okay? And about, for children, hearing the Word of God. How us parents need to be sharing the Word with our kids, even when they're the little one's age there, that tiny little one, Kaylee. Okay? So, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in God's right way, in the way of righteousness. Now look at verse 17. Why is Scripture given to us and profitable? So that the man of God, like Dana, so that Dana may be perfect. That Dana may be spiritually mature. That Dana may become complete in God. That's what it's saying. That's what the word is for. It is to mature us, to grow us. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe it'll be more than 3 weeks. Okay. Okay. It is not, the Bible is not just a book about God. I want you to get this. It is the very real words of God Himself. Please turn to John chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 5, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word. What's it talking about? In the beginning. Beginning of time. Beginning of what we know as existence. Beginning of the world. Now look what it says. In the beginning was, and whenever, okay, I was a, when I went to Bible college and even when I was in high school, I was a, hang on. Yeah, rascal. I was a challenge, high maintenance. Okay. All right, stop a minute. I was English major. I may not speak like I'm an English major because I don't really care about trying to impress people. I just know the English laws or rules, okay? Whenever you're reading a verse, there is a subject of that verse. The subject or a passage. There is a subject. And so often we get caught up in the details of a verse and we forget the subject. I want you to notice the subject of the first five verses are the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. So in the beginning, before anything, was the Word. And then I want you to notice, and the Word was with God. That means it's like two separate. God's making a distinction here. The Word was with God. And then he says, and the Word was God. That's part of us helping to understand that Jesus is the Son, because he's going to go on and show us that Jesus is the Word of God. Okay? But what I want you to... Go ahead. The son of a Russian is Russian. The son of God is God. Good. Thank you. Okay? In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the Word of God. And without Him, without the Word, was not anything made that was made. In Him, in the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. When people don't have the Word, they don't have light. They have darkness. And the light shineth in darkness. Jesus comes to shine unto darkness. But the darkness does not comprehend it. Comprehends it not. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld Him, the glory as of the only begotten. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So is it saying here that Jesus is the Word of God? I don't want you to look it up right now, but I want you to write down as a reference. I'm sorry, I don't know how to just keep this real basic, but I want to do what I feel like God's telling me. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. You look it up later, for those of you who want a little bit more, and you will see that it's talking about Jesus. And we saw Him clothed in a vesture, and His vesture was dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And it goes on to say, and He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It's Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. So I'm right on time. Thank you, Jesus. Got through point one of 7 points. Jesus is the, capital the. Whenever I'm taking notes or writing notes about God, I always capitalize W for Word, always capitalize the Word, and always capitalize the Holy Spirit. I'm just letting you know, because to me, it's God. And it's like I want to exalt Him. I want to make a point. I want to magnify Him. Jesus is the Word of God. He came in the flesh long ago. But He is not here in a body today. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ comes to live inside of you. That is your proof. That is your down payment of your salvation. But Jesus is with us here now in the written Word of God. And in the Spirit. People come here from all different walks. Years ago, God said to me, Harvey, you're going to train many different brands. And when He said that, immediately quickened in my spirit, people are going to come from different denominations, different backgrounds, different understandings, and they're going to come here. Okay? And that He wants us to train them. Why did He bring you here? Okay? There's something that God is wanting to give into you, and a foundation is what needs to be strong. Okay? Our foundation, Susan, my foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ, but it is the Word of God. Now, do I believe in the Holy Spirit? Do I let the Holy Spirit live, flow, move, breathe, have His being, be in charge? Yes, by all means. But how do I know it's the Holy Spirit without a test? And that test is the Word of God. I come back. What is the Word? In John chapter 4, if you want to write it down, verses 22 to 24, a woman at the well is, talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, "You know not what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." In Christianity, okay, the light I have and what I've experienced, in Christianity, you have two extremes, okay? You have people that are word only and people that are spirit only, it seems like. The people that are word only a lot of times have a tendency to be legalistic, harsh, everything's black and white, they're rude, they're judgmental. I know because I was one, okay? And God's been breaking that out of me. Then you have people sometimes that are spirit only or spirit emphasis, and they're often not based on the word. So a lot of things that they're saying are not word, okay? And, or a lot of things that they're doing or what they're basing their beliefs or their actions or their life on. And we need both. The Bible is our foundation. The Holy Spirit opens up the Word, makes it alive to us, teaches us through the Word, but we have to have the Word. Experiences will happen. Do not base your life on experiences. Base your life on the Word of God. That is your foundation. Experiences will happen. But you're going to also have experiences that even in God, you're not going to understand. And you can't start basing your life on experiences and thinking everybody has to have those experiences. There's experiences I've had that you'll never have. Okay? And there's experiences you've had that I'll never have. What I'm saying is it's not our experiences. It's the Word of God. Now, I meant to take, maybe I will take your 1 minute. Because I wanted to just say, does anybody have any questions, any comments? Because we need to own this, these teachings. We need to own these. This isn't something that we just go, If you don't own these, you will not be strong. And what's coming is going to require our strength. You see, you may think, let me just give you this. I guess I'll give, if nobody raised their hand. I'll just give you this, okay? You may think, because we've said, what's coming? What's coming? God's preparing us. And 8 years goes by, and you just see us stay small and whatever. Jesus went for 3 years. Jesus, God himself in the flesh, went for 3 years and had 12 people that he trained. 12 people. But he turned the world upside down. When it comes time for the rubber to meet the road and people to live it and walk it out, many of them leave. Because it's like, oh, let's have the wonderful, nice, oh, let's all get loved on. And yeah, let's all get loved on. Yeah, let's have peace. Let's have joy. But it's a lot more than that. Because you're not going to have that without truth. You're not going to continue in that. You may have experiences of that, but you can't live in that without truth. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Not you're going to give him a little flighty experience that he had one day and talk about it for the next few months or years. It's we want to be solid, and I know every one of you wants to be solid. And this is how to do it. Jesus, we commit this time into your hands. Lord, it's all about you. It's not about me. We're just servants. We just want what you want. And we ask that you would make this a real to us and that we would be, how's that verse go? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That when it comes time to give an account, we will not be ashamed because we will have spent time in your word and sought to base our life on your word. And we just thank you, Jesus, for this time. Amen.